I pray God's grace and his peace and his mercy would be yours always in Jesus' name. Amen. So change is what we're talking about. And change always comes. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. In the early 1990s, Teen Talking Barbie hit the stage. It was filling toy shelves everywhere, and it actually was quite a hit, but it did manage to seriously offend some people. If you can imagine Barbie being offensive. People went kind of nuts because when Teen Talking Barbie started talking, one of the things she said was, "Math is hard. I like shopping." Some people became so livid and upset, they decided to change things, and they formed the BLO. I'm not making this up. You can look this up on Wikipedia. There's pages about it. The Barbie Liberation Organization. The BLO. The BLO went out and acquired hundreds of Teen Talking Barbies and an equal number of G.I. Joe dolls, which we all know are not dolls. They are action figures. Then they performed surgery. They took the voice box out of Barbie, and they put it in G.I. Joe, and the voice box of G.I. Joe, and they put it in Barbie. And having kept their receipts, they returned the Barbies and action figures to the toy stores, who had no idea what was going on. They then resold these Barbies and G.I. Joes to children, and when they made Barbie talk, they heard, "Vengeance is mine." And when G.I. Joe talked, he said, "Let's plan our dream wedding." Change. We got the scouts here today. Scouts have seen some change over the years, some good, maybe not always some so good, but some are you in the scouts, and right? And that has changed your life. I appreciate how the scout leadership here teaches things that I appreciate, things like honor and valor and honesty and integrity and adherence to a respect for God's word and the truths of Scripture. They teach and they support your faith and your church and how to live an honorable life in the community we serve. I know some have become Eagle Scouts this year. That's something you can put on your resume, and it shows something. It shows a level of dedication and maturity that people can respect. Before I was a pastor, I used to do some hiring and firing, and stuff like that on a resume got my attention because it said something about who you were and where you came from. Being in the scouts can have a good influence on you, but it does change who you are, and it can change where you can go. And changes, you know, whether we want it or not, it's something we're just all going to experience. It just always happens. Have you ever had the privilege of just sitting down and talking with someone who's over 100 years old? Think about what they have seen. They can probably remember a time when they had to ride a horse-drawn wagon to church every week because that's what they had for transportation. They can still remember the first flight of the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk and the landing on the moon. They can remember the first transatlantic telegraph message being sent. And they can remember that while holding a cell phone. These folks have seen some change. Speaking of phones, change. Most of you folks probably remember at least some of those, right? Phones that were attached to the wall. And if you detach them from the wall, they didn't work anymore, right? Remember when cell phones were carried in big leather bags? And you know what you could do on those things? They were so big, you could make phone calls. That's about it. And then, not for too long, because the batteries go dead pretty fast. Right? Change. It's just everywhere, all the time. Even Jesus in the minds of men has undergone many changes in the minds of men. Although the Bible is clear when it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the image and perception of our Savior by at least some in culture has often changed. You can see it if you kind of do it in 500-year increments. Go to the very first centuries of the church, and Jesus was seen as the friend of the lowly and the poor and the sinner. By the 500s, the Lord of Life had been adopted as the great supporter of government and state. Go another 500 years, and by the year 1000, Jesus is portrayed as the mighty conqueror. In the 1500s, 500 years later, he has become a tyrannical and oppressive divinity who is so far removed from the human race and so angry that people approach him with fear and terror and dread. Add another 500 years and you get to right now. What's Jesus look like now? For some folks, he's not so much Lord as just kind of a good guy. It's guy down here in the bottom. I gotcha. Buddy Jesus, right? A teacher philosopher whose religion is to some no more true than any other religion. And those Savior's claims of being the only way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, that's discounted as being, well, that's just a little too exclusive. And his powerful declaration that says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. Well, that's just wishful thinking on the part of people who wrote a nice story. That's what people often think. And because of that change, many church bodies and congregations have changed. There are churches that are now removing crosses from signs and steeples because they're afraid it might offend someone, the cross. Instead of offering the truths of Holy Scripture, they're offering things like how to live a better life and social justice, neither of which is bad, but without salvation in Jesus, it's all worthless. So I suppose after hearing all of this, you might think, I know what this sermon's going to be about. This sermon's going to be about no change. If you were here last night, we did the traditional service, and I pulled out the old page 5 for those of you who grew up in the Lutheran church. You know what I'm talking about. Page 5 is what we grew up on because we didn't have communion. That would be page 15, right? You remember that hymnal. So I wanted to show them we're not about change, right? Everyone knows that we like our traditions, and we've all heard that phrase. Like I said before the service, we've never done it that way before. So you might think I'm going to talk about the foibles of change, but I'm not. Because change is really what the church is about. Change is nothing new to the church. Change is nothing new to God. Start at the beginning. I mean, the beginning. God called the universe, all that is around you, into existence. That's a lot of change to go from nothing to everything. When God saw Adam and Eve banished from the Garden of Eden, alone, lost, and dying eternally, condemned, he promised them change. He promised them to send a Savior who would restore them, reunite them, who would redeem them, change them. When the Lord heard the cries of his people being held in Egyptian slavery, he sent Moses along with 10 plagues to free them. That was change. And then, after 450 years of time in Egypt, he immediately sent them, oh, by the way, in 450 years of approximately the same style of worship, he sent them right to Mount Sinai, leaving Egypt, and gave them a whole, complete, new style of worship. Whew, we never did it that way before. That was change. 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son. And even our calendar reflects that, right? This is the year 2020. 2020 from what? About the time Jesus was born. Born true man because of his virgin mother, and true God because of his conception by the Holy Spirit, Jesus' entire life was spent changing, rewriting our destination of damnation and substituting God's graciously given salvation. The Lamb of God was lied to and lied about, betrayed by friends who tried to sabotage his work and his reputation. He was falsely arrested, unfairly accused, illegally condemned, and then nailed to posts. Also, our eternity would change. And then on the third day, he brought about some change. He took death, you know, that thing that's permanent, and he changed it. He rose from the dead, not only to change physical death into a life that is restored, but eternal death into eternal life. On that glorious morning, God brought about a change which affects the life and eternity of all who believe on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because Christ is risen, we no longer have to say our final farewells to those who are nearing the end of their life. Because Christ is risen, we no longer have to wonder what happened to that one who has breathed their last in this life. Because Christ is risen, all who believe in Jesus know that they have a living friend to help them no matter what troubles might come. Believers aren't set free from all the pains and the woes of this world, but because Christ is risen, those pains are brought into an endurable perspective. Nobody understood that perhaps better than the Apostle Paul. Paul had been educated and become a member of the Pharisees, and not just a regular run-of-the-mill Pharisee. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was one of the best. He would have known the Old Testament scriptures upside down, backwards, forwards, and inside out. And you can tell that when you listen to his, when you read his, what he wrote. Paul became a fanatical persecutor of the way. That's what the Christian church was called at the beginning. It was called the way because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Later, it became called the Christians, the Christ people group. But he was dedicated to putting out the flames of the way. Everyone who believed in Jesus as their Savior needed to be put down. That was Paul's life purpose until the Lord changed his life. And what a change. Heading out on a mission to Damascus to arrest and imprison the faithful followers of Jesus, Paul had a personal encounter with the crucified and risen Lord. That visit changed Paul permanently. It changed his perspective and his politics. It changed his work and his witness. It changed his eternity. Forgiven of the past and filled with hope for the future, Paul gave up his role as a persecutor and became a public proclaimer of the wonderful glory and grace which comes from believing in the Savior's salvation. From that moment on, Paul told anyone and everyone how their lives could be changed through faith in the Redeemer. 2,000 years ago, the reason we know so much about what Paul wrote is because he wrote it down on either leather or parchment made from grass usually, and a quill with ink and a well. This message I'm giving you today was composed on a computer. It's being delivered on a tablet. You're hearing it through a wireless microphone, and it's being pumped out on radio and on the internet right now. The media and the method, that often changes. The circumstances and situations in which people live will change. But the message of salvation and the truths of Scripture must remain unchanged. It's not God who needs to change for us. It's God who needs to change us. You see, when Jesus Christ is your Savior, your temporal and eternal life are wonderfully transformed. That's been the truth that has been preached from pulpits for years and years. The truth of a changeless Christ within a changing world. Think of all that's happened since Jesus taught and saved. There have been wars and police actions. There have been good times and bad times, social unrest and upheaval. There have been days of financial deflation, inflation, recession, depression, and surplus. Just in our lifetimes, we've seen change. We've seen the message go out on AM, FM, and now XM. It was on tapes, CDs, now it's on podcasts and video streaming. We have shared Christ crucified and risen through all of it. Because change is what Jesus does. To repentant hearts, Jesus promises complete and total forgiveness for anyone who repents. And if you're saying, I'm not so sure about that, I want you to know that doesn't come from God. If you think that you are beyond forgiveness or that others are beyond forgiveness, you're not listening to God's truth. You're listening to Satan's lies. Think about it. Jesus forgave Paul, the murderer. He forgave David, the adulterer. He forgave Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. He does the same for all who repent. Just look around you. There is nobody that is living a life so good they don't need the forgiveness Jesus gives. There is no person who is also too terrible to be beyond forgiveness. Jesus lived and died and rose to give peace and healing and salvation. Scripture is really clear on that. Listen to what St. Paul says. It starts out kind of harsh. Do you not know that wicked people will not inherit God's kingdom? Stop deceiving yourselves. People who commit sexual sins, who worship false gods, who commit adultery, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, the drunks, abusive language, or who rob people, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then listen to what he says. To the people he's writing to, the churches in the city of Corinth, he says, that's what some of you were. Then he says, but you have been washed and made holy, and you have received God's approval. You've been justified and made holy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. They were changed. By the Holy Spirit's power, they were changed. And that is available for you as well, that same change. Repent, believe, and be saved. No matter what you've seen, no matter what you've done, no matter where you have been, all God asks for is an apology. To believe in him and be saved. That was Peter's message to the people who killed Jesus. You know, the folks who were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And you can bet in the crowd there were Roman guards. It's not impossible that the guy who pounded the nails was standing there listening to this. Peter had just told them, you killed the promised one. You killed the Holy Christ of God. You killed your Savior. And they said, what do we do? He said, well, all of you must turn to God and change the way you think and act. And each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This promise belongs to you and to your children. It belongs to everyone who is far away. It belongs to everyone who worships the Lord our God. That is God's message of change to you. That is the great change our Lord gives to everyone who believes. Our unchanging God is the God of change, changing you to be what he wants you to be so that you can be what I talked about with the kids, that salt and light, the light that shows people the way and the salt that makes this life and the next life different, changing our world from being the holding cell outside the gates of hell to being the waiting room of heaven. I pray that Christ in your life would change you to be and would help you to see the world through his eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.